It's good to be here. If you don't know me, I'm Evan. I'm the lead pastor here. And if you're new, we're just glad you're here. I'm glad you're part of this with us. We have been talking through this series called Good Soil. And so the first 2 weeks, I've talked a little bit about dirt. And so I came, that's dirty. So I came in this morning, and the worship team was all getting ready up here, and often I pop in and just say hey and see how they're doing and things, and I don't ever know how they're doing. So, I mean, when worship teams and their sound and stuff, there's all sorts of things that can go wrong on a Sunday morning. So I know there's a lot of stress sometimes, but I walk in, I say, "Hey, everyone." And, "Oh, hey." I said, "You guys are all dirt." Amen. I had to say amen, actually, because I was like, "You guys are all dirt." And they're just staring at me like this. Excuse me. I said, amen. They're like, "Oh, I get it. We're doing something spiritual here. Okay. I got the game now. We'll jump on board." I said, "If you don't know what I'm talking about, you have to look at online because you haven't been at church for the last 2 weeks." So we've been working through this series, and basically, so far in the series, have established certainly that we as people we are dirt, and that's not derogatory at all. Normally it would be say, "Oh, that's very rude," but we found out the very first week that dirt is either is not valuable or is very valuable based on whatever's inside of it. And so if dirt has incredible seeds or, you know, beautiful garden or whatever, it's really important. You can't have that garden, that beautiful garden, without it. If it's full of weeds, then the dirt is kind of not that valuable because it's making you have weeds. And so the first day we talked about Jesus just shared this story about a field that maybe wasn't all that valuable for a guy, but the guy went out and he found treasure on that field. And when he found treasure in the field, the field or the dirt that wasn't all that valuable to him before, all of a sudden became worth his life savings. He went and he sold everything that he had so he could buy the whole plot of land. He bought the whole thing because the dirt became valuable, because the treasure was there. And Jesus said, that's what the kingdom is like. That it's worth giving your whole life because there's treasure in the kingdom, and it's worth all of the other stuff that you might go through in life. It's worth all of the other sacrifice that you might walk through as a Christian. It's worth all giving up whatever you might feel like you need to give up to be a Christian. It's worth giving up everything for that stuff because the treasure has made the dirt valuable. The kingdom makes your life valuable. And then we went all the way back to Genesis 2. Where Jesus is, or where God is doing some work of creation, and he decides, you know, I need to create humans. I need to develop my very favorite creation, the one that he will eventually say, this is the one made in my image. And so he actually takes dirt and he shapes it. And I don't know what, you know, I don't know if he thought, wow, that's great. That already has a lot of value in itself. But it's the moment where he breathes into it that all of a sudden it takes on life. And so this dirt takes on life, and that becomes human beings. From the very beginning, God was already calling us dirt. He's already saying, I want to do something with you, and I build in dirt. I create out of dirt. I pour into dirt, and things happen. And so we have become dirt. So last week, then, we talked about this parable that Jesus shared about, and it's this parable of a guy who's going and sowing seeds all over the place. And there's a number of different dirt sort of conditions that these seeds land on. And he talks about those different, one is really hard and it's a calloused heart. One talks about a shallow soil base and there's rocks underneath. One talks about landing in soil where there's all of these weeds as well. And he just shares about all of those things. And we started looking last week about the condition of our heart. When we come before Jesus, the seeds of the gospel are going to be planted in our hearts. When we come to church, the seeds are being thrown out. There's truth about Jesus. There's the message of the kingdom of God being thrown out and are going to land on your heart. And depending on how your heart is prepared, depending on what kind of soil your heart is made of, on if there's unforgiveness there, or if you have forgiveness in your heart, if there's bitterness there, or if there's grace there, you know, depending on what condition your heart is in, will determine how that seed grows. We talked about the idea that the seed doesn't lose value one way or another. The seed is just as valuable. It's always the gospel. It's always the kingdom of God. It's always the message of Jesus and the story of what he's doing in history. And all of that is put into this one seed, but we all know a seed without good dirt can't do what it's meant to do. So we get the pleasure of being good dirt, of being good soil. That's dirty. We get the pleasure of being ready for the gospel, so that when the gospel is planted in us, it can grow and it will grow. Every bit of potential for that thing to grow is already within the seed. It will become all that it's meant to be every single time it's put in good soil. Every time. That's dirty. Joseph, you're jumping on board. I love it. There's not a time where the seed of the gospel won't grow to its full potential when it lands in good dirt. So then all that we have to look at then in our lives is, how's our dirt? How are we as dirt? How's our heart? How are we when we're receiving? And so that's what we talked about last week. And this is sort of a reminder scripture that I want to share with you. It's Mark 4, 26 to 29. Jesus, again, talking about dirt and seeds and planting. He says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. I love that. You know what that says to me? It says that we're going to do as much as we possibly can, but the real work that's going to happen, we'll have no idea how it's happening. That the miracles that take place, we can't explain them. The greatest work of God, we won't be able to put it all together and say, well, obviously this, that. We're going to do everything that we can. We're going to dig up soil. We're going to prepare our hearts. We're going to be open for seeding. And actually, God uses other metaphors sometimes where we're actually the ones doing the seeding. And we're going to do all of that. But the reality is, you can't grab a grass seed and pull the roots out and put them in the ground. You can't pull the sprouts up. You can't turn a mustard seed and lift it up with, like the hand of God might, and turn it into a big tree. You can't pull the leaves out. You can't make the leaves fall off in the fall and come back in the spring. You can't force fruit to come out of that tree. None of that is anything that we can do. All we can do is be good dirt. That's dirty. And so God does a whole lot of the process, and yet he gives us some. You imagine that God is saying to us, yes, I will throw out seeds. Yes, there will be the gospel. There will be these seeds that are moving out. However, if the soil is not ready, they won't take. God says, so it's on you. Get the soil ready. Prepare your heart. Sometimes that happens in a big miraculous moment. Sometimes it's a process. And always, whether it starts with a miraculous moment or not, it's a process from that point on. Always we're going to have to prepare the soil. And always the greatest work will be beyond us, and we won't know how it happens, but always we'll have a role in it. At the end of last week in Matthew 13, 23, at the end of the scripture that we were sharing about those seeds, Jesus says this, but seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop. I've just been in that place this week. I had some ideas for the end of this series that I might move on from this passage, but I can't move on from this passage. I just feel like this is key for us to hear. Every time, every single time the gospel message lands in good soil, it will and is given the chance to grow, it will produce a crop. Every single time. There's not sometimes where it sort of comes out. Every single time when it lands, it will produce a crop. He says, this is the one who will produce a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what is sown. That means if the message of Jesus lands in your heart and has space to grow because you've been working hard at keeping your soil good, no matter what, you're going to grow a faith that delivers that message 30, 60, or 100 times. Every time. And so then we sort of think, okay, I start racking my brain like, okay, are there 30, 60, or 100 people in my life that I'm like, these people are hearing the message and they're growing and they're changing? Maybe, but we all start to look at how many people are here. If I can't help but put out that message, that seed, then what's happening? Because I don't think our church has grown by 30, 60, or 100 times in the last few years. We've grown by some. We're thankful for the lives that have been changed. We're thankful for the people who've come to know Jesus. But if the message is going out at that rate, out of our healthy hearts, then why isn't it changing more lives? Start to wonder that. This is what I've been spending my time with this last few weeks. Why isn't it changing more? Why aren't we seeing hundreds and thousands come to know Jesus? Why don't we have a church of 5,000 here in the Comox Valley? And sometimes it's like, oh, no, we can't do that. That doesn't exist. It will exist. We got to believe that God's actually going to do that, that he actually cares for the hearts. And all we have to do is have good soil in our lives. Sometimes then we say, okay, good, I have good soil, and now it's time for me to go and do more things and get more people here. And we think that the only thing that we need to do is preach the gospel. Well, actually, preaching or delivering the message, it says, happens naturally. Just us having good soil is going to grow up and it will produce the message. It will, out of your life, start to pour out into people. So what's the bigger issue? Not that we have to speak more, that we have to tell more people about Jesus necessarily, that we have to tell them that they're sinners and that they're doing wrong things and that they're living against the rules of God. Not necessarily that we need to go get a soapbox and put it on the side of the road and say, this is who Jesus is. That's not necessarily our role. In fact, probably that would be throwing seeds onto a path that's not going to grow them anyways. We as people have learned that it takes good soil to grow the message in our own lives. The same is true for anyone else. And we need to be more about helping people have good soil than chucking seeds at bad soil. And chucking the message of Jesus at bad soil. I'm just going to keep pushing this at you and doing that. Like, wait, I have hard soil. Do you not have any tools? Do you not have anything that can break up the soil for me? Do you not have anything that could soften my heart and open me up to the message of Jesus? Do you not have anything that could stir my heart towards that so that when you throw those at me, they will grow? And I feel like God is saying, yes, we do. Actually, we do have something to give. We do have something that would soften the soil in not just our own hearts, but someone else's. We believe that we have tools, that people might be moved, that the gospel might grow if we would we would work on people's soil, not just chucking seeds at them. And so we're going to look at the same scripture from last week. Last week we looked at it for ourselves. This week we're going to look at it for other people. We're going to start in Matthew 13, 19. This is Jesus explaining his parable, but he says in Matthew 13, 19, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. So Jesus is talking about the hard path. If you haven't heard the full parable, you should go check it in Matthew 13, or we talked about it last week. You can see it online. But when he's talking about this, he's talking about a hard path, and you can just picture all these seeds spread along a hard path that's obviously not going to grow anything. And so these birds are coming down and eating up the seeds and getting rid of them. So the message of Jesus isn't turning into anything. The seeds that were sown for the kingdom aren't turning into anything. And Jesus says the reason for that is because they don't understand. They don't understand. They don't get it. They don't get what they're dealing with. They're hardened to the message of Jesus. So the seeds aren't having an effect. And it's funny what we do often without saying, well, if they don't understand, well, we just better make them understand. We better tell them what they're doing wrong. We better tell them all the stuff that's going on. Because once they understand, then they will do. Then they will figure it out. But often people aren't starting from nothing. Often people are starting from a bias themselves. They're not saying, okay, just tell me. Okay, now I know. Away we go. In fact, what they have understood, unfortunately, is that maybe they were part of church at some point and they felt rejected. Maybe they were living a lifestyle and they felt purely judged. Maybe they felt like they were hurting and the people that said they loved them never came and saw them in the hospital, never came and took care of them, never helped them, never looked after them, never found them, never looked for them. Maybe it's that they what they've understood is that compassion was missing when they went to church or when their parents went to church. And they don't know what, they don't understand Jesus as compassionate. Sure, you can tell them all you want and chuck seeds at them all you want, but it's just going to bounce off until all of a sudden they see in us something different. If it was us, I mean, the power of the gospel doesn't change. Let's keep that in mind. The power of the gospel never changes, and yet God said, the dirt in you, the dirt in the people, the dirt will determine how that gospel that has the same potency for every single person, how much that gospel will see its potential. And so if God's given us that power, then all of a sudden that powerful gospel message of Jesus Christ was lost because we decided to not have compassion on someone, to not sit with someone, not walk with someone. Our job isn't just to preach the gospel. Our job is to soften the soil. Jesus did this. If Jesus just preached the gospel, it would have had a very different story in the Bible. He didn't just walk around and say, here's what the gospel is, here's what the gospel is. Everywhere he did share the gospel. Everywhere he went, he did share the gospel. But he'd sit for meals. Zacchaeus, hey, you're up in a tree and you don't know anything about me and you're trying to figure it all out. Zacchaeus, you're a terribly unhappy person and no one around here likes you. Can we go have dinner? This is what Jesus does. Jesus doesn't say, Zacchaeus, hey, yeah, you're far from me. You're going to hell. We're carrying on. He says, I want to do dinner with you, Zacchaeus. That's where he starts. He doesn't preach the gospel. He shows the gospel. He doesn't preach and tell him what he's doing wrong. He says, let's go. I'll show you what right looks like. I'll show you what life looks like. I'll show you what joy looks like. I'll show you what hope looks like in Jesus' name. Zacchaeus, come on down. Levi, the tax collector. Hey, you're a terrible guy too, and no one likes you. Do you want to follow me and come with me on my party? Do you want to go change the world with me, Matthew? I just want to know. Do you want to join me? Jesus would stop what he was doing to meet with the person who no one else wanted to meet with. And what did it do? It changed lives. It softened soil. It loosened up the hardened ground so that it didn't matter who threw a seed in there. The seed went in and it grew. Why? Because the soil was soft. Why? Because Jesus didn't just preach, he lived. He lived it. He showed it. He taught it. Because he told us, we're dirt, people are dirt, and dirt gets hard, and it needs breaking up. What will break up the dirt in your neighbor's life, in your coworker's life, in your family's life, in your city's life? What will break up that dirt? Are they going through a painful time? You know, we probably should talk to them about Jesus at that point, but we probably shouldn't talk to them about Jesus and walk away. If they're going through a painful time, can I walk with you? Can I stand beside you? If they're feeling discouraged, well, there's encouragement in Jesus' name. Amen. Bye-bye. What good is that? Actually, Scripture says if someone doesn't have something, if someone doesn't have a meal, we can't just say to them, well, that's tough beans, we'll pray that you'd be well fed and then walk away. If we don't feed them, we didn't actually do anything for them. We can't just pray these things. We can't just preach these things. We got to live these things if we want to stir up the soil and get things ready. And so as far as it comes to the gospel, the first thing I want to suggest that we need to do is we need to make it clear. We need to make it clear. If people are going to understand it, we need to make it clear, and it's going to be through our lives, not just our mouths. Matthew 13, 20 to 21, Jesus addresses the next one. He said, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. They quickly fall away. We know people like this. Well, actually, probably most of us have been people like this. You show up to church and you sort of see Jesus for the first time, and it's amazing. So I'll give anything. Like, I'll give up my life. I'll go wherever you want me to go, God. I'll sell everything I have, and I'll give it to the poor if you want me to do it. I'll remain single for my whole life if I need to. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. Whatever you ask, I'm in, God. Just tell me what it is. And we've seen people like this, and I've also seen people a few weeks after that say, yeah, actually it wasn't all that really real to me after all. It didn't mean all that much to me. We've seen these very people, and sometimes we've been those very people. And as I thought about this week, I considered, okay, what is it? If we don't have much dirt and then it's rocks, what do we need to do? We either need to trim back the dirt and get the rocks out of there and put it back in, or we need to add more dirt. As I was praying about this, I felt like God said, well, you've got a lot of dirt to add. You've been calling the whole church dirt these last 2 weeks. Someone's walking through something and go, yes, I'm so excited about Jesus. I'm fired up. I can do everything. You need to know. You need to recognize that and say, that can't last without more dirt. I'm dirt. I'm with you. That can't last without pouring more dirt on you. Let's get you in a small group so we can add dirt. And I'm dirt, and this person's dirt, and this person's dirt. We'll all just jump in there, because then you can dig your roots deep. We'll protect you as you grow until your roots are strong, and then watch how you can take off. What does it look like drawing people into us? The first one then is, if we want people to have soft hearts, if we want people to have ready soil in their lives, we need to, one, make it clear, and then two, draw them near. They need to come near to us. If you're dirt, draw someone else into you. Get them to come be part of what you're doing. You've got what their roots need. You've got soil. You are soil. Grow together. Third one, Matthew 13:22. Jesus said, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word, making it unfruitful. How many people start showing up to church and saying, yeah, I like this, but I'm just worried that if I follow this too much, I might have to give up too much. What if I don't get to have the money that I wanted to have? What if I don't get to live the life I wanted to live? What if I can't do those things? And they've got these fears about what life looks like. They've got these fears about what that commitment to Jesus might look like. And so they're not able to give themselves fully to it. I once had went and got this really good dirt. It was from my father-in-law, and it was actually manure. And so I've got this whole truckload of manure. I come back to my house like, this is gonna be the best. Our gardens are gonna be awesome. And so I start putting it all in the gardens and doing everything, and realize I actually have too much dirt. And so he had told me anything's going to grow in those things. Like, it's going to be awesome. You're going to have great gardens. So I said, well, I better save this stuff. It's like gold to us. And so I went and put it in the corner of our yard, a big heap of manure over in the corner of our yard. That's dirty. And I left it for a while. I just kept on with our gardening and doing the things that I was doing. And eventually I went back there, and this thing was just packed with weeds. Was full of weeds, loads of weeds all up in there and doing their thing. And I was just like, what in the world? I'm supposed to use that for my gardens, not for the weeds. But the reality is, good dirt is going to grow something. We need to decide what we're putting in that good dirt. We need to decide to get that dirt in a place where it's hearing, where it's having an opportunity to have gospel seeds planted. Having an opportunity to have kingdom seeds planted. Not isolated in the corner. Not pushed out, not marginalized to the corner of my yard. You stay over there. I don't have enough garden space for you, but I will one day. One day you'll have purpose. One day I'll dream for you. One day. But right now, you stay over there. Actually, as I'm just saying this right now, and I didn't say this in the first service, but I wonder if this might kind of be like our youth and our young adults over in the corner. You stay there. Once you're mature, we'll find a space for you in the garden. Just stay over there. Wait, they're ready to grow something. And so if we don't put the gospel in them, if we don't give them opportunity here, if we don't make a garden that fits them, all of a sudden it's just weeds that start growing there. And they start growing the desire for money. They start growing the desire for fame. They start growing the desire for security. They start growing the desire to just have a nice house and have a nice life and just be happy and just be fulfilled. And they don't actually get a chance to know the real purpose of why they're such good dirt, is that the gospel is supposed to plant in them and grow fast and grow strong and produce great amount of fruit so that it would go out and do greater things in the world. This is what the purpose is for them. This is what the purpose is for that dirt. And how often do we just push it aside? You're just not ready yet. Or maybe the new believer. You're just not ready yet. You just stay over there until you're good and ready. Wait, I'm ready to grow. I want to grow something. I want the gospel to grow in me. I want Jesus' work to move me. I want the kingdom to do greater things here. I'm ready to go. Not yet. You just stay there. We don't have enough gardens for you. You know what we need to do? We need to build more gardens. As a church, we need to make more space. As a church, we need to try some new things where those things can fit in and they can grow and we can experience it. We can watch the gospel, because one way or another, the gospel will grow in good soil. But so will weeds. And if we're not pushing the gospel, if we're not given opportunity for the gospel, we're not given gardens so that that dirt has a place for the gospel to grow, they'll grow weeds and we'll say, well, why did you do that? See, I told you, you weren't ready. With that weeds that I put, with all that mound of dirt that I had over there, I built a bed in my backyard, garden bed. I built a garden bed in my backyard, a raised bed with my daughter, and we put it all in there. And that year, we grew cabbage and carrots and things like that. They were ready. Maybe there's people who have a fear that they're not ready. And maybe that fear has been built on us telling them they're not ready. We need to weed out those fears and get our gardens built so that we can get that dirt in there and put the gospel in there and watch it grow. That's all we need. So first, make it clear. Two, draw them near. Three, weed their fears. Yes. Worship team, you can come on up. The last scripture that's been on my heart this week is from Paul. And Paul is this guy who finds out about Jesus in a big way. If you've read the New Testament, you know you've read Paul probably, because Paul has been drastically impacted. And Paul and a number of other of the apostles and people were actually living out this incredible life where revival was happening. They were seeing the 30, 60, and 100 times growth in their churches and in their movement. And I think in lots of ways it's because of all the tilling and all the garden clawing and all the hoeing and all the stuff that Jesus had done before them. Hearts were ready. Hearts were soft. Hearts were looking for the gospel. So they start sharing it. And Paul is one of these guys who's sharing the gospel. And then there's this other guy named Apollos, and he's sharing the gospel too. And there's this one point where people start saying, well, I prefer Paul's gospel, and so I'm saved to Paul's gospel. And other people say, well, I like Apollos' gospel. I'm saved to Apollos' gospel. And Paul comes up and says, what in the world are you talking about? 1 Corinthians 3:5-9. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, sure. Apollos watered it, sure. But God has been making it grow. We can't grow it. We can only be dirt. We can handle the seed and we can put the seed in the dirt, but we can't grow a seed. God grows the seed. Every good thing that will come out of your life won't be because you worked hard to do that. It will be because you made sure you had good soil for the perfect seed to grow in. You allowed the gospel to grow in your life. So neither the one who plants, says Paul, nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. I want to see God make things grow. I don't want the type of growth in this church that only I could produce, that only our pastoral team could produce, that only our past, our rich past, who even sits in the pews right now as I look at Pastor George and Esther, that foundation. I don't even want just what their foundation we could build on. I want to see what God could grow. I want to see what God could accomplish here. But we're never going to see what God can accomplish until we decide that our work is not to grow things, it's to work the soil so that things can grow. Because God's the only one who grows it. God's the only one who makes it grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. I love that Paul says that. I love that Paul says that. He says, yeah, when we're talking about the gospel, we're seeing a lot of people saved. We're seeing a lot of people healed. We're seeing a lot of miracles. Lots of great things are happening. And it's all happening through me, and I'm seeing a lot of things. That's awesome. Guess what? I'm nothing. I'm a zero. I don't have any role in growing any of this other than what God is doing. He's the only one who grows it. Remember, people, Paul says, remember as we walk along and we see good things happen, we see people turn to Jesus, we see people healed, we see people saved, we see people set free and come into conquering their addiction. When we see people walk through all of that stuff, when we see generosity swell up, when we see compassion swell up, when we see all of those things, remember, people, we are not the tree. We can't produce fruit. We are the field, Paul says. That's it. The field. And what's growing on it? And what are we doing to prepare it? Everyone out there, we've got a field to reach. A lot of spots, that field is kind of hard ground. That field is kind of rocky ground. That field is kind of weedy ground. It doesn't get solved just by us hucking seeds out there. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about how wrong you're living. Let me tell you about even the good news. Let me tell you about the good news of Jesus. It doesn't take the same seeds we're throwing out here, Jesus says. There's not a good gospel seed and a bad gospel seed. Every seed has the potential to produce 30, 60, and 100 times. So what are we doing to prepare the field? Prepare the soil. Are you making it clear through your life? Are you drawing them near? And are you weeding their fears by saying, you are something, you do have value, you don't have to worry. Let's plant purpose into you like the gospel has always planned on doing. Amen? You're good dirt. You're good soil. That's dirty. That's dirty today. Amen? Why don't we just pray? Can everyone stand up? I'm going to pray. These guys are going to sing a song and we'll go, but let's just pray today. For our city, for the Comox Valley. Lord, we just thank you for the Comox Valley. Thank you for this place that's home. Thank you for this place that's beautiful. Thank you that we get to drive, and everywhere we go, we see mountains. Everywhere we go, we see trees and ocean. It's just an incredible place to be. But Lord, also everywhere we go, we recognize that there's fields and there's dirt. And Lord, some of that dirt is hard. Some of that dirt has rocks in it. Some of that dirt has weeds in it. And Lord, we just pray today that we wouldn't be people that stand far away and chuck seeds at it and hope that something sticks. But that we would be in people's lives with compassion, that we would be in people's lives with generosity, that we would be in people's lives with love and care, that we would give up our time to walk with people so that the soil would be prepared so when the seeds go, they stick and they grow in Jesus' name. We pray in Jesus' name for 30, 60, and 100 times what we've seen, that every seed planted today would yield a crop like that. Because we're going to be good soil, Lord. Thank you for making us dirt. Thank you for making us out of dirt. Thank you that the message we have for every person is that however dirty they are, God has purpose for them. Thank you, Lord. Let us ready hearts so that they would allow that truth to sink in. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen, amen, amen. Have a great week. Give Pastor Daniel Smith a hug, and we'll see you next week. Come on back for Grad Sunday.